Yo, what's Platinum?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
I'm Rolo.
I'm Tall Josh.
And this is Pool House Vibes.
Hey, the Pool House Vibes.
Where we talk about everything.
And anything.
What's going on?
Damn! Episode number four,
officially. it's officially number four, yeah. I feel like a Back to the Future moment right there.
Yeah, Groundhog Day, boy.
Yeah, last time.
Bill Murray in the building.
So, here we are.
Yeah, we are here.
Back at it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super stoked, though, because after this episode, Amazon's going to deliver the new equipment for the more, better, improved episodes after this one. So,
podcast gear.
Podcast gear. I only had to work, like 3 weeks for it, but it's coming. It's going to arrive in a couple days, I think, and then, we're off to the races after that. We're going to make this a little bit better. The quality is going to be a little bit better.
Yeah. I'm excited.
What's going on with you, man? I haven't talked to you in a week. I haven't seen you in a week, I should say. I talked to you, but haven't seen you.
Just working on music.
Music?
Yep, right. Yep.
Cool.
Yep. New tracks. New stuff's going on Spotify with AMFM. I released a, song.
Cool. Yeah, I just started school today. Back at the school game. It's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of production coming out of me this semester, which is, I'm really nervous about it. I can't wait. It's like a TV newsy thing. It's like newsy documentary, like Vice News. Mm. That's what how the teacher and a teacher's aide.
Dude, I was watching Vice the other day, and I saw this video about this dude doing credit card scams.
Oh, really?
And he went so detailed into it, and I mean, the only thing they blurred out was his face and lowered his voice. But if I was a detective, I literally would be able to find out who that guy was.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I was like, this guy gave away his whole shebang, his whole operation, and I was like, dude, this guy is giving away everything. He's talking about how he's gonna get in the game, he's gonna get out of the game, and what he does, how he has the swipers, how he's got the chip reader now, and he's got he can crunch numbers. He goes on the dark web and he gets credit card numbers and he crunches them in and then he swipes them. And I was like, dude, this is crazy. I guess they call it Zoe.
Huh.
Zoe, that's the term for it. Yeah. If you're a Zoe god or whatever, then you're a credit card scamming god.
I hope he never gets my credit card information.
Well, I mean, not only
he won't be able to spend very much.
well, the problem, the way that he says it, the way that he broke it down was he was like, if I take $3,000 from somebody's account, they're not liable for it. You know, the banks and the insurance agencies that are in place will accommodate them, and they won't really feel the impact of it. So somebody's going to feel the impact of it, right? Like, it's usually the insurance companies or whoever's in charge.
FDIC.
Whoever's in charge of protecting the people from these scams. But he's like, the banks do it. Why can't I? that was his justification.
Real. 2008, yeah.
Oh, dude, it was ridiculous.
We're gonna what I feel and what I think is they had a moment of Oprah where they were just like, you get some money, you get some money, you get some money. Everybody gets some money to buy a house, and then everybody's like, yeah, I'm gonna buy 5 houses. But I don't know how I'm going to pay for it if all this shit goes bad.
Right. Well, I mean, that's...
And then the shit went bad.
Yeah. The bubble popped.
Yeah. And now it's all these houses are just abandoned everywhere where that shit happened. And you're just like, shit.
Yeah.
I hope that never happens again. And then the government was like, whoa, we really fucked up on that one, didn't we? We're just going to go brush that bitch under the rug.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good surface overview of what happened in at least the housing market.
Yeah.
The whole entire financial industry was fucked and has been for a very long time. It's all fiat money, but whatever.
Yeah, so we were talking about Tekashi 6ix9ine last episode, I believe, and some new stuff has happened since we've talked about that.
There's a phone conversation.
Oh, I didn't even know this.
Yeah, it was...
Wow.
He straight up, he was like, he was talking about, a lot of people, they don't understand. They don't understand what I go through. They don't understand what I'm going through right now. He was saying, hey, I guess Snoop Dogg had some words to say about, about my case or whatever. He beat his murder charge, but He's like, you know, these people don't understand real life. You know, I'm not sitting here duel all this time. Like, he was just literally saying, like, if you don't understand why I'm cooperating, then you don't understand how life works. But on the street side of it, it's like, some people did understand the code of the streets, and they're doing 40, 50 years because of that code. And it means so much to them. And it's,
I think it all goes back to that saying where it's, if you can't do the time,
don't do the crime. He said, I made a lot of mistakes, you know.
A lot of mistakes? Yeah. Hey. 47 years worth of mistakes is what the FBI is looking at.
Well, I mean,
I get why he's cooperating, because he's saving his own ass. Everybody, in the end of the day, is going to save their own ass,
right? But is he really though? Because they're
kind of,
there's some repercussions, right? Because he's gonna have a mark on his head for probably the rest of his life. Provided that's actually what he's doing.
I think he jumped into the wrong color of Kool-Aid one too many times to dye his hair, and he drowned. He drowned in too much of that lifestyle where he didn't even need to be in that lifestyle, which I don't personally think.
Well, to get to where he was, or to get to where he made it to, like J. Cole was saying, you know, they want him to rot a picture of him in a car looking up at, you know, the cell or whatever, wondering if it was all worth it or not. And it's like, that's the self-reflective moment that I'm sure that he had, or he was having before, up to and before the moment he decided to admit to all of those felonies or whatever. He was like, well, I mean, I could sit here forever, or I can just snitch on everybody and get out.
And I don't know, did he fully snitch on everybody, or did he just say, yeah, I did all these things?
Well, I don't know either, but what the news that's surfacing,
right,
and what the sensationalized headlines are saying,
right,
is that he is admitting who he was involved with. And I did notice, though, that you're right. It said, you know, I paid someone to shoot at a rival to scare them.
I did
this, I did that, I did all these things. And so it seems as if he's kind of like figuring out a way to finesse even snitching. He's flipping snitching as his first baby mom says. I think she called him King Flippa. You know, it's kind of funny. I was listening to her on live, and she was talking to the audience on Instagram, and she said, like, you know, how he's a little manipulative, according to her. These are her words, you know.
Yeah.
And how he's King Flippa. He can flip any situation to make it so he can come out on top of it. And you can kind of see that that's how his career manifested. His career manifested as, like you said, diving deep into some crazy shit, and then just being like, yo, how can I come up on top of this situation, you know, and making, but the music kind of speaks for itself. His music defends itself. You can't take away his creativity. You can't take away the creative element of what he did. He was very creative with it. He was misguided. And unfortunately, I trace it back to that moment where he admitted that his father was murdered, like, on his doorstep, pretty much, or right in front of him, like not too far from him.
Right, and, you know, I didn't know that.
And at 13 years old, dude, that is going to literally...
Oh, yeah.
This is what you're... America created this person. You know what I mean? Like, the United States, however harsh the conditions are in the United States, is fully responsible for creating a person like this. And he's...
The persona.
And I think he's kind of... and we don't... Not to take away from everybody else's individual responsibility to express themselves how they see fit, but I feel that we as a collective have created what he ended up being like.
Yeah, a lot of the younger, I think a lot of the younger audience though did, not so much the older audience, because I don't know. I mean, yeah. I've listened to a couple of the songs and I like the beats. I can't get with like the lyrics per se, but I like some of the beats that he picked or his producer picked and then was able for him to rap on. Yeah. Cause I don't think that he created those. Right. I mean, maybe he did. I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
maybe
he,
you do.
Yeah. No, he worked with producers but as far as his lyrics go, it was very aggressive, you know, in your face lyrics. And that's what he was known for.
Right.
It was funny. I was on a trip with some buddies, with some old friends. We go like pretty much almost like once a year up north, and or just on a road trip, wherever. This time we happen to go up north, and it's a long drive, and so we have all kinds of time to catch up and yeah. shit, you know. And one of the things that I showed them, I showed up Tekashi. I was like, now imagine if you were like in the 1930s, right?
Yeah.
And you showed like what was it, the breakout Smash Gummo, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And you like showed Gummo to somebody from the 1930s. And my buddy Daniel was like, oh my God, this looks like a dystopian nightmare of the future. You know what I mean? Like these dudes like jump running around our cars, like outside of the, in front of the building, all with like red bandanas and like face tats. And it's hilarious.
Now, are you saying somebody like that's still living now?
No. Like if you were to travel back into time,
oh, okay.
and you were to show them, like, yeah. I don't know, even if you would be able to, but obviously they'd be like, ooh, what is this device? Ooh, shit.
But the thing is that you can right now, though. You can. Like, there's people that are still alive that were, like, that were around in the 1930s.
Right,
where
yeah.
you could, like, show them this person.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what do you think about this?
That's why those YouTube videos of, like, parents react to XYZ artists
yeah.
go viral. Because the parents have this a completely different generational viewpoint that they express.
And I'm like, I almost feel like I'm, like, living in a nightmare, though, being in my 30s, like, you saying that, and then, like, what, 20 years from now, I'll be, like, in my 50s,
right? Right.
And that, like, that's literally going to happen to you and I.
Well,
and I'm like
maybe
nervous.
You. I try to keep an ear to the youth and ear to the streets, and I just don't.
Right.
I don't
no,
like.
No, but
to
it, like it will happen between you and I because you won't. You probably won't react as like drastic as maybe I will.
Right.
Because your kid is musically inclined, so he'll be in like the music realm, I believe.
Right. Right.
In his 20s. Where he will be, you know, I don't know. I hope good things. But, like, I'm just thinking, like, I hope music, I guess what I'm trying to say is I hope music gets better.
Yeah.
Like, it gets out of this, like, weird, funky phase of, like, weirdness. It well, gets back to, like, the understanding the lyrics and it's not so much, like, I don't know. Like, I mean, I get, like, I like Sheck Wess, right? I like
right.
a lot. I love those beats. I don't know who created Sheck Wess' beats. I think maybe he did too, but man, I don't know. It's just like it's like I want to hate it, but at the same time I like it.
Right. Yeah. No,
I don't even know why I like it.
Well, that's the polarizing effect that a lot of people have with people like Tekashi because it's there, bro. It's the beats are there. The sonic. Future even the same. Where he's talking about lean, Molly, eggs, drugs, and it's like, do you realize, dude? You're guiding a whole generation of people into their own destruction. Like,
yeah.
it's like these people are like, oh, I wonder what lean is. Like, oh, am I gonna hold some lean? And then all of a sudden they can
yeah.
become addicted to it, and now they're on opiates, and their legs are going crazy, and they don't even know what's going on, what reality.
He's the bus driver, and we're trying to pull our children away from the bus stop.
Yeah, exactly. And he's yeah. Yeah, he's like, come on, the magic school bus, bro.
Right.
Holy snap.
Which is totally trippy, too, because that shit's on Netflix, and my wife, she puts that on for our kid, like the magic school bus, and I'm just like, yo, who the hell was writing this shit in the 70s? Like,
yeah.
I think it was the 70s when it came out or whatever. It was just like, this is some freaking, like, acid-ass shit.
Watch it muted.
Right? Like, just go smoke a bowl real quick.
Man.
And just like, sit there and just be like, what am I watching right now?
Yeah, dude.
Come along and ride. Speaking of getting high, how old were you when you first got high?
I was, the first time I ever did, I was already 20, my early 20s, probably like 23.
Really?
Yeah, 23.
You know how old I was when I got high for the first time?
Huh.
I was 9 years old.
Holy
nine
shit.
Or 10 years old.
That explains it.
Yeah.
I've had more time for my brain to develop.
Right?
For my brain development. Nah, I'm just messing.
It was a weird, and I still to this day remember it. Like the memory was like bam, just imprinted in my dome. I was spending the night at the neighbor's house, and his older brother was, God, I want to say like eight to ten years older than us. Yeah. Yeah, so he was about 10 years older than us, right? So
mm-hmm.
him and his buddies, 19, 20s, and they, you know, they thought it was a good idea to be like, hey, you know, so-and-so, you know, here, smoke this. And then, you know, my buddy was just like, hey, you want some? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, right?
Yeah.
Dude, after that, my throat and my tongue was all dry, and I'm like, damn, I'm so thirsty, bro. And we went in and we were drinking like Dr. Pepper and orange soda and whatnot. And I was like, dude.
Nothing hydrating.
No. And I was like, dude, I'm hungry, bro. And it was a Mexican family, right? So, I mean, they have fucking leftovers for days, bro. So I'm sitting there like I'm eating fucking carne asada burritos. I'm eating chips and salsa and guacamole. And we're sitting there watching like R-rated movies and whatnot. And I'm
so you turn into a teenager at night.
Yeah, dude. I grew up fast. And I was always around older people. Like I always felt at like a young age that I had more
maturity.
Not maturity, because I'm still not necessarily mature for my age now. Just that I don't know. I'm missing the terminology and the words for it, but I just got along with older people.
Right, and I did too. Growing up, I had friends that were already in high school and stuff, and I'm in elementary school, and we were running out. But they were protective in a way.
Right.
They kind of kept it cool. But the thing about like my first weed story, it was Keef. It was a bowl of Keef.
Oh, okay.
And it was just like, what are you kidding me? Like the hardest thing that you could possibly smoke, like condensed, concentrated THC crystals that were like accumulated at the bottom of a grinder. That's what I put in that, or that's what my buddy put into the bowl and was like, yo, wait, you're smoking with me for the first time? Hold up. He reached back in his cabinet. He like, he's like, dude, I gotta make this special, bro.
He pulled out the fucking holy grail.
He's like,
and
he poured this in the bowl. I was like, no, I was down to smoke weed. I don't know what this is. I didn't want to smoke crack. And he's just like, no, man, this is Keef. I was like, what the fuck is Keef, dude? I don't know what the hell that is. And he's just like, no, dude, trust, it's weed, but it's like the part of the weed that matters. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And then so I did, and I was the biggest asshole to this girl that I was talking to, like on the face of the earth.
Really?
Like, because, you know, I'm I would consider myself an emotionally intelligent person.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was always, you know, very communicative of how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. We go to Fridays, right? I'm just zonked. Looking around, like, dude, this is, I'm like going through a spaceship, to go from the spaceship, that which was the vehicle, getting into the portal of Fridays, sitting down, and we were just sitting there, and she comes up to me, she's like, hey, what's up? Like, it's good to see you, like, I haven't seen you in a few days, da, da, da. And I was like, your hair looks awkward. Like, just... just straight whatever thought was in my mind, and she just, I could see just her whole entire emotional state just warp into like sadness, and I was like, oh shit, I have that much power over somebody's emotional state, dang. And it just affected me so much. But like, you can't really care when you're in that state. You're just kind of like, nah, nachos are coming. And like, anyway, I'm gonna eat now. Like, I turned into like a grade schooler. But this is, I'm 23 at the time, dude. Oh, dude. It was a weird experience, but. And then I distinctly remember going back to the house, and that's when I ran into my buddy, and I called him Chief Sitting Bong. And just like, I remember the feeling of my balls being on fire. I was like, my balls are on fire, dude. My balls are on fire. So freaking weird, man.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. It's almost. I don't know, man. That's wild.
It was too much. It was like the most weed you could ever smoke ever.
Yeah, at the very beginning. As that saying goes, the dopest dope I ever smoked.
Oh, man. That was wild. I mean, like, that gets me thinking, like, now we have stories coming out that you would think somebody's high or whatever that is releasing the stuff. But, like, there's this tiger, right? This, like, 1,000-pound overweight tiger. That was found in an abandoned home in Houston.
Oh, wow. Texas. Houston, Texas.
Yeah. And it's this overweight tiger. And I guess, and it was funny because some pot smokers were trying to, some pot smokers. I can't believe I just said that. Anyway, some stoners were trying to go in there, and they were like just straight up trying to find a place to smoke out. And then they discovered, they stumbled upon a tiger.
That's crazy.
That was, and the news article, the sensationalized news article says, abandoned or tiger discovered in abandoned home. Overweight tiger discovered overweight. In an abandoned
I like
home.
How they threw that in there, like, yeah. Overweight tiger, like, well, I don't even think I've ever seen, like, an overweight lion or tiger.
Yeah, well, that's...
Like, even in the wild, right?
Yeah, right. They seemed pretty fit. But you think about it, logically, like, wait, the home's abandoned, the tiger's overweight. What happened to the people? That tiger that ate some people.
Yo, so speaking of, like rare animals being somewhere where they're not supposed to be, So I just saw this article where there's polar bears. The polar bears, like, walked across or, like, got stuck. Like, I want to say that they walked across that from, like the Alaska area, whatever that the Bering Strait or whatever that is up there, mm-hmm. where, like, freezes over and then, like, you can, like, walk across it.
Right.
Like, some amount of time or whatever. But these polar bears were, like, in this, like, Russian island. And they've, like, these polar bears have never been there, right? And so there's these, they're, like, stuck on this island. These people have no idea why they're there. And they start killing them, you know.
The bears start killing the people?
No. The people start killing the bears? Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And, like, polar bears are, like going extinct.
Right.
And there's pictures of them on Twitter where they're, like going through, like, rubble and rubbish. And, like, just trash. It's crazy. Like, I saw this picture and I was like, yo, somebody just made a stupid meme and photoshopped these bears in this garbage, right? And then all of a sudden you start scrolling down even more and you see these polar bears, like, it's like they're legit, like scavenging through trash. And it's like big mounds of trash, like at a dump. But it's, like, not a dump.
Weird. It's kind of like some District 9 stuff.
Yeah. It was wild, and I'm like, dude, it's really sad, you know. At the same time, you know, but it's wild too. Like,
on a lighter note, what animal do you think would be the cutest if scaled down to the size of a cat?
Maybe a koala.
A koala as a cat? Yeah. I'm talking like large. I'm like a giraffe cat, or like,
I don't know. Maybe a hippo.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a hippo.
That'd probably be the cutest, huh? Like a little hippo?
Yeah, like a little maybe a hippo. That. Maybe a hippo.
Yeah, hippo. Dude, I would agree with you on that. I was thinking elephant.
They're fucking huge.
I was thinking elephant, but elephants are kind of awkward.
Yeah, but elephants are like when they're like little baby elephants. I mean, yeah. They come out like...
Yeah.
They come out like already all, like all 600 pounds or some shit like that, but I don't know.
Hippo, dude. I think... Because they have the mouths...
Yeah, they're huge, and they're like really aggressive too. Like, they're one of the most aggressive species.
Yeah, they'll come at you.
Fucking yeah. You ever see that video where they're in the boat, and all of a sudden the fucking hippo comes out like his jaws and shit, like trying to eat the people and push the boat over and shit. And the people.
I've only experienced that live at Disneyland. At the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, the Jungle Cruise, the Safari Cruise. Yeah, that's funny as all hell.
So, 21 Savage released.
Mm-hmm.
How did that come about? Jay-Z, huh? Jay-Z hooked him up?
Jay-Z got that lawyer game going on for him strong. Wow.
And all of the other people that kind of are facing what he's facing are still in there.
I don't know if they're facing
the same thing. But I mean, well, it's pretty
There's
much,
people still in there.
It's black and white, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm sure that some of those people had access to the type of legal team that he had.
I don't even know who the fuck's in ICE control, so.
I don't know, but it's just interesting to me to know that kind of thing can happen.
Yeah.
Where somebody can get released like that and with similar charges,
yeah.
Other people aren't. But again, I don't know the extent of it and I don't want to speak ignorantly about it, and it may be very specific to his, and he may still be having to fight it. He's just fighting it on bond.
Do you know what happened or the cause of the whole thing for him to get arrested?
It's a good question. I mean, there's many theories about it, but there wasn't a verse added to his song A Lot with J. Cole. Where he was talking about the Flint water crisis, where he was talking about you know, immigration, how he wouldn't imagine having his child at the border. And,
oh, so you're saying there's like conspiracy theories about it?
No, I'm not saying that. No confirmation bias here at all. You can't.
Oh, okay.
There's no. It's just that's what the internet is buzzing about,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of see
you know, there's some, you can see that there's some sort of, there could be some sort of connection, but you know, okay. You have to draw your own conclusions based off of that. My own goal is to just provide the information. Another aspect of it is there was a interview that he did with Academics.
Who's that?
DJ Academics. He's like one of the, he's kind of like the headline deliverer, I would say, of the new youth culture in a way. Or you got like No Jumper, you got Academics, you got a few other platforms that are, you know, the Breakfast Club sometimes can tune into it. But mainly like Academics, No Jumper, and then maybe and Dom is Live is another one. They cover all the latest up and coming artists that are noteworthy, you know, Academics kind of got to start doing Chirac coverage with all the drama with all like Chief Keef and the whole entire drill music movement in Chicago. That was
Chirac. But, yeah.
So that's kind of how he built the foundation of his early career. And you know he's gotten a lot of flack on the internet too because it feels as if sometimes that he would perpetuate the violence in a way by reporting on it and glorifying it and making you know. But regardless, he's got a position now with Complex on that show Daily Struggle.